got quiet in here all of a sudden. Welcome. This is such a sober, serious subject. We all got really quiet. So glad you're here today. Welcome. It's good to be with you. My name is Dave, and I serve the regeneration team here at Watermark. Glad you're with us. I really appreciate what Chris had to share last night as he kicked off our time together and talked about how parenting is hard. It's hard because we care deeply for our kids, and the consequences, we would all agree, are significant. And I think one of the most challenging aspects of parenting our children is educating them. And so when we talk about choices that we have to make, there's a weightiness, a seriousness to that subject. And so I just want to acknowledge that as we talk about the things we're going to talk about today. Some of you may be here and saying, my frustration or my challenge is I really don't have a choice. Like this is the only option I have, and it's not my favorite thing, and I need to endure it. And so thank you for being here. Looking forward to talking this issue over with you today. We want to devote as much time as we can during this session to the questions you have. So be thinking about questions you might ask. I want to frame our conversation today with a passage of scripture that I think will help us think through the things we're going to talk about. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to have the panel introduce themselves. But I'm just glad you're here. I'm so thankful that you've committed yourself to a weekend in November of learning and growing as a parent. I'm especially grateful that you're thinking about how you want to educate your kids. And so if you have a Bible, turn with me to Colossians 3. We're going to look at verses 16 and 17 real briefly. And again, think of this as a foundation of what we're going to be talking about this morning, or even a frame that we can build the conversation around. Now, before I read this text for you, I want you to know generally where it is in the scripture. What follows this is really important, because if you had time to study this morning, what would follow this text that we're about to read together are the family tables. You'll see the family tables in Colossians. You'll see them also in Ephesians, the idea of who we are to each other as followers of Jesus, as husbands and wives, and then following that, who we are as parents. And so what I kind of want you to see this morning is the beginning place of all this conversation. So Colossians 3, I'm going to start in verse 16 and read through 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. A few big ideas I want you to see here, again, that will help us really put into context the conversation we're about to have about schooling decisions we make for our kids. I want you to see that phrase, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Sometimes you look at that and you think, what exactly does that mean, the word of Christ? What an interesting way to talk about scripture. Does this mean simply the red letters in our Bible? Does it mean simply the things that Jesus taught? I think the best way to understand what Paul is writing here to the Colossians is the idea that the entirety of scripture points to the person and work of Christ. Another way that we could think through what this text is saying is, we oftentimes use the phrase the gospel. That's what we're talking about here. When we talk about the word of Christ, what we're talking about is all that God is for us and all that he's doing for us through the perfect life of Jesus, the sacrificial substitutionary death of Jesus on our behalf, and his resurrection. Here's the idea. Because of what God has done for us in Jesus, the word of Christ, the gospel, dwells in us richly. It's alive and it's a well, and it frames everything we are, everything we feel, everything we think, everything we see, everything we say, everything we do, in such a way that from that we see two things happening. One is our relationships are governed by that. See the one another there? You and I can come together, and with the gospel dwelling richly within us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through our faith, we can teach one another. We can admonish one another. We can grow together in wisdom. One of the things I really want you to feel today is that you're not alone. Isn't it difficult sometimes when we think about educating our kids? It just feels like such a private, personal decision. And there's times in which that can be overwhelming, where you feel like, is there anybody who understands my circumstances at all? I want you to understand that God has given us not only his Spirit in making these decisions, he's given us his word, but he's also given us each other. And so my hope today is that we will be able to encourage each other, that you will find on this panel or perhaps in this room someone who has very similar circumstances to you, someone who's going to pray for you, someone who's going to listen to you, and someone who's going to help you think out what is the best to do for your kids. Then I love this last phrase as we get down to verse 17. Let me read it for you again. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's what that means. That means all of life is an act of worship. And the beautiful picture of that is whatever you choose to do in a way that is informed by God and honors God is an act of worship. So whether you send your kids to public school or private school, or you homeschool them, or you homeschool them in the context of a co-op, whatever it is you're doing, what you're attempting to do, as the gospel informs you, is to worship God, and you want your kids to worship God. So I want to pray for us, and I want to introduce this amazing panel to you. So glad you're here. Let me pray. Father, thank you for each woman, each man that's in this room this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the children that are represented by this room. Thank you, God, that you're for us. You're for us because of all that Jesus is and all that he's done. It's through his perfect life, the life we couldn't live. It's through his substitutionary death, the death we all deserve to die. It's through his resurrection that we are right with you today, and you're for us, and you love us, and you've given us your spirit. You've given us the truth of your word, and you've given us to each other so that we might live lives that glorify you in every way. Father, I just pray that as a result of our time together today, we would have clarity. Maybe not so much as to what decision we need to make, but we'd have good clarity on how to go about making godly decisions for our children, but we would also have charity and unity, that we would understand that we can make different decisions about the education of our kids and yet still be a family who loves one another, cares for one another, ministers together. Lord, I pray for anyone in the room today who's feeling a sense of discouragement, a sense of regret, a sense of being alone, a sense of isolation, a sense of anxiety and fear over this decision. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would meet that person right now, and I pray that you would minister to them the peace of Jesus. All this we pray in Jesus' good name. Amen. Family, we've got a great panel that's here today. I'm really excited about this panel. I'm going to get out of the way as soon as I can and let them talk, but I want them to introduce themselves first to you. So Paige, would you kick us off?
Sure. My name is Paige Watkins. We have three kids. We have a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 10-year-old. We go to Classical School of Dallas, and I'm sure we'll talk about decision-making things later. My husband couldn't be here because he is actually with our 10-year-old at his flag football playoff game this morning, and so it's basically the Super Bowl at our house.
My name is Oren. This is my wife, Cindy. We have three kids, Jonathan, who's 15, Anna, who's 13, Benjamin, who's 11. And is that all you want to do?
And tell us about the education of your kids.
Oh, education. What do we do? I'm just kidding. Well, we homeschool our kids. So,
great. Thanks, Oren. Thanks, Cindy.
Hi, I'm Robin, and this is David. Robin and David Zena. We have three kids. Our oldest is actually a freshman at Baylor. I see your Baylor sickum. So we have two girls and a boy. Our oldest is a freshman at Baylor. Our second daughter is a junior in high school, and our son is in eighth grade. And we can talk more about where our decisions, but our oldest went K through 12 to a private school, and our other two have been to two different private schools.
Hi, my name is Ben Solomon. I have four kids. My oldest is 13. She goes to Lake Highlands Junior High, which is a public junior high in Richardson ISD. I've got two, an 11 and 8-year-olds that are at Northlake Elementary, which is where my daughter that's in junior high went. And then I have a 2-year-old also. And so Northlake is a public school there in Lake Highlands, a Title I school, 90%+ minority, 90%+ on some type of subsidized lunch program. And so that's where, we've been tracking for the last 10 years or so.
Great. Great to have you with us. Let me tell you a little bit about myself real quick, because I might weigh in a few of these questions just so you know where I come from. I've got four daughters, so much of my life has been living in a sorority. Each of my daughters went to public school in two places, one in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so if you're familiar with Albuquerque, you probably know about Breaking Bad, and in some ways that was kind of reflected in the culture of the schools. And then if that wasn't challenging enough, they also went to public school in Seattle, Washington at different times. And so three of my four daughters have been involved in public education. Two are teachers and have taught in Title I schools. And my youngest daughter right now is a speech and language pathologist at Leslie Stimmons Elementary School in Oak Cliff here in DASD, and so I kind of come from that background. Now, I know a lot of you have made decisions about public education, private education, homeschooling. Some of you are in the process of that. I would love to hear from our panel. Walk us through the decision-making process. How did you guys decide to do what you did? Were there any scriptures that jumped out at you? And what was that process like? How did you get clarity when you made the decision of how to educate your kids? So, Ben, let's start with you because you have the mic.
Yeah,
how about
I didn't
that?
Think about that when I said on this end that the mic would be to me first for this question. Yeah, so we live in Lake Highlands. We bought a house. We started kind of researching the local public school as our kids got 2 and 3. And the narrative around our community was that nobody goes to this school. Everybody transfers out. It's not a good school. It's not a place you'd want to send your kids. And so that's what most of our friends and contemporaries and neighbors were doing. And we really wrestled with that concept. We felt like it was an opportunity for us to lean into that school, to address the broken relationship between our local community and our school. These are kids that are going to this school that are in our neighborhood. And we just felt like it was an opportunity for us and our family to be salt and light there. It was really hard, really lots of lonely, dark times, not decisions that were always affirmed or supported by our church friends, our community, but really where we felt called to plug in. And so my wife, I mean, there wasn't much of a PTA, so my wife became PTA president when our daughter started kindergarten there. There wasn't a lot of community support, so we started kind of rallying the community. There wasn't much church support, and so we approached Watermark and said, hey, we need some Watermark hands and feet at Northlake. And from that, we were able to start up a school ministry, which is now called School Impact, our school's partnership ministry here at Watermark. And so that's what the last 10 years, it's been a lot of hard, lonely, challenging times, and also a lot of sweetness and comfort, and knowing that that's where we were called to be, and that even in those lonely times, being in the center of God's will is such a safe and affirming place to be. So that was kind of our process for the last decade or so.
Thank you.
You want me to start and you fill in the holes? Okay. Excuse me. Honestly, when we had kids, I always thought they would go to public school. And thankfully, I married a woman that reminded me that, hey, we need to look at the heart of each of our kids and the personality of each of our kids. And, you know, Psalm 139 just says that, hey, God knit our kids in the mother's womb, and they're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so as our oldest became time for us to consider school. We lived 6 houses down from elementary school that I thought would be fun to walk or two each day. And as Robin began just sharing with me of just Paige's personality was that when she was a child that assessed a lot of what was going on around her, which meant she was quieter, reserved, some people say shy. We saw a different side of that, but we would call it quiet and reserved. And began realizing that in a class size larger than about 10 or 15, she may get forgotten or left behind. And so we just began the process of what that looks like. And so we, you know, if you think about Proverbs 22:6, just how you need to train your child the way that he should go so that when they're older, he will not depart from it, was just an idea that education was part of that for us, of the training side of it. And where we would get that, whether that was going to be through the public school, private school, homeschool, or a hybrid system. And so we just began the investigation process and landed on private school. And I'm going to turn it over to Robin to kind of fill in the holes there from how we got there.
That's really how we got there. And but we did. We just felt like our daughter needed a smaller classroom. And as you guys are processing your kids, you will know as you seek the Lord where they need to go. When she got to eighth grade, we actually as a family decided, okay, when our kids are in eighth grade, we're going to include them in the education decision, and we're going to see if she would like to go somewhere else for high school. So in eighth grade, we helped her process if she wanted to look, or we did look, to go to a different high school. And we went through that process, lots of praying, lots of lists of the pros and cons, and she actually decided to stay at that high school through 12th grade. Now, our other two, they started at that private school, and when our second got to 8th grade, we actually did the same process with her, and she actually left that high school and went to a larger high school. Our son, who was in 6th grade at the time, we actually moved him, and they both left and went, and he is in 8th grade this year, and we are going through the process of what do you want to do for high school. So it's just, we felt like it would help our kids process, just when they got to looking at colleges, that they would be able to have an open mind and have the due diligence of looking at where do I fit for college, where do I go for college for my extended education.
I think for us, so for the past 20 years, we've been in Louisville, Kentucky, where I've taught at a Christian college and seminary before coming to Watermark last year. And you know, that informs some of our decisions, because I think for both of us, we were both public school and had good experiences with that. When we moved to Louisville, we found out that you don't go to school in your neighborhood. You have to apply for schools. Your kids usually, typically, bussed all over the city, and it just kind of made us question, do we want, you know, to put our kids on a bus for 2 hours a day in addition to the time we're going to be away from them, 2 hours or more? And I think just evaluating our situation and you know what the Lord had kind of done in our lives, when we moved to Louisville, we hadn't had really a good examples of Christian families who disciple their kids and kind of had a vision for the family. And through years of infertility and miscarriages, it allowed us just to see a picture of God's good design for families and mothers and fathers with children. And we saw good examples of families that just faithfully, not perfectly, but faithfully homeschooled their kids. And so I think evaluating all those things and examining kind of our own kids, their personalities, our personalities and gifts, we decided to homeschool our kids. So, did you add anything to that?
And since we've been here, since we moved to Dallas, there's a lot more opportunity. It's a lot more homeschool options for us. And so we are able to join a co-op, which has been tremendously wonderful for our children. They've been able to make friends more quickly. There's wonderful homeschool sports leagues that they've been able to join. So we're just very grateful. And Watermark does a good job of incorporating homeschool kids into like the small groups here in the youth group. So it's just been a real blessing for them to be able to find their little community within this big church in this big city. So we're thankful for that.
That's great.
When we started thinking about how we were going to educate our kids, I think that it was largely informed from my perspective of, I've been a public school teacher briefly, and I was raised in the public school, and I just wasn't an integrated thinker. I didn't know how to connect my beliefs of who God is with history or kind of all the subjects, and so I just had this open-handed way of thinking about just what did I want for our kids. And so when we went through a pretty thorough research process, we kind of went through, was kind of like a funnel of what we wanted out of education. And we decided that we really wanted a Christian education. We wanted the gospel to color their world, and that every subject we wanted to come under submission of God's word and his will, not just religion, but math and science and literature. So we knew we wanted a Christian education, and then we started to love classical methodology. Just found that it was a really beautiful and different way to educate. And so we found classical education to be compelling. And then we started homeschooling. And pretty quickly in, I realized that, I'm exhausted. And I just felt like I couldn't do it. I kind of was always thinking, am I doing enough? Am I doing too much? I'm tired. I love my kids, but I would really like a break. Mom is tired. And so we wanted this a way to remain the primary influencers, but not necessarily the primary educators. And so we thought about conventional school of the, you know, like 5 day a week model. And you know, at Team Watkins, when we're getting out the door in the morning or coming home from something in the evening, it's kind of this hurry, 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 we gotta go, or hurry, 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 hurry. And I just felt like for us, the pace of a 5 day a week school didn't work. It was too busy for us to squeeze so much life into those evening hours. And so we started to discover this hybrid model, which is pretty new, but it was a way for campus or professional teachers to bear so much of the scope and sequence and burden of education and allow me to engage without having to carry it all as a homeschooler.
Thanks, Paige. Paige just said something that's really significant. We're going to pick up in a minute, and that is being primary influencers, regardless of the choice you make in education. We're going to come back to that because, excuse me, I think that's a value we all would say. That's what the Lord would have for us. Okay, I want to get the, I want to hit the awkward subject quick if it is there, and that is, I don't assume that when you make these decisions that you're necessarily on the same page. So, if you've ever had conflict, husband to wife, as to what you do. Or parents to child. I think of my own experience. I don't know where this thought came from, but our youngest Jillian, as she got to the point of getting ready for college, and in our home it was, you don't have to finish college, but you at least got to start it and see where it goes, and everybody has that option. She came up with this idea of, I want mom to homeschool me in college. And I thought, that's interesting. That sounds like kind of a failure to launch plan. But so we worked our way out, and she's now got a master's degree, but I never had considered that before. So I don't want to pretend for a minute that you guys are necessarily on the same page always as you've thought through these decisions. If you had conflict either with each other or with your children, what was that like and how did you work through that? So if you didn't have conflict, don't feel like you need to make something up. But if you did, feel free to talk about the things you kicked around.
Our struggle came when I was homeschooling and part of starting a new school of just my husband watching me and feeling like, is this taking too much out of you? Can you do it? And so we had to sort through finding balance. I think when you do bring education into the home, it's hard. The hardest part is parenting, because parenting is really hard. But that was a source of struggle of just, can we do it? And working through it to find the balance.
I think I have internal conflict
the time. Okay, yeah, tell us about that.
About my inabilities and my inadequacies, but it forces me to go to Christ and to look to him as the one who's going to be enough for my kids. And it's been great to have wonderful conversations with them. Like, I'm getting frustrated with you right now because I don't understand, and I'm frustrated with myself, and I'm scared about your future. Like, all the things that, like, I know I'm inadequate. I know I'm not enough. I know that there's going to be major gaps that I just don't meet, and that's okay. Like, the Lord can do a lot of things. This guy is testimony to the fact that, like, he did not love school. School was not his thing. Now, like, he reads books for a living. Like, that, you know, just the change that the Lord can bring in them through the Holy Spirit gives me a lot of hope. And so it allows a lot of confession of sin to them, a lot of walking alongside each other. And it's good for my heart to be like, you know what? I need Christ. I need him to be enough for me. So
that's good. Yeah. I would say for us, the conflict was really, it wasn't like this major conflict, but Robin, like I said, I was not as in tune with where Robin was and with where, for our oldest, for Paige. And Robin had to hold that loosely. And for whatever reason at the time, we weren't able to go to the open house of one of the schools that we were looking at, and we went separately. And Robin really loved it, and I went, I don't know, a month or two later on my own. And I think that was eye-opening for me because I started to see what Robin was talking about when I was at that school. And I remember coming home and sharing that with her. And there was never this, Robin wasn't ever saying, hey, we have to send our, you know, Paige to the school. But she was in tune with Paige's heart more than I was. And that just helped me, just with Cindy, the internal struggle I wasn't thinking about the decision well enough. And when I started to think about it and pray through it, I understood more the responsibility that we felt we had with our child. And so that was more of, it wasn't necessarily marital conflict, but it was more, I got to watch the beauty of Robin holding something loosely that she really cared about. And as I know, she was praying for me just to not to choose the private school, if you will, but for me, for my heart to be open to see and listen to what God would have us do with our child.
Yeah, for us, 30 plus years ago, my wife's parents made the choice to send their kids to a public elementary school, Skyview Elementary, that's very similar to the demographics of Northlake. My wife grew up okay socially, had a heart for the poor and the marginalized. And we actually met through urban ministry that we were doing in college. And so when we had the opportunity, she was kind of proof of concept for us that it could work out okay. And so when we had that opportunity to do that with the next generation, we were really synced up on that.
That's great. That's great. Okay, rapid fire answer, because what we really want to get to here shortly is your questions. So be thinking about your questions. We're going to have someone running a mic around the room, so I want you to get ready. You're almost, it's almost time for you to go. One myth that you've heard about, whether it's you have your kids in public education, you're homeschooling, you have your kids in private, one myth that you've heard from other Christians about what you do, because I appreciate what you said earlier, Ben, being someone who goes to public school, a lot of the pushback you've received is from the Christian community. So let's get a little raw here, and let's have some fun. So what's one myth, and I can think of, we've already joked around with Oren that he was going to demonstrate to us how to make butter today as a homeschooling parent. So one myth. Yeah. He's not going to do that, but he will be milling soap here in a little while. One myth about public education, Ben, you start us off. One myth that Christians may think about the public schools that just isn't true.
Let me give you a word of wisdom. If you're ever on a panel, don't sit on one of the ends. You need to sit in the middle.
So pass the mic back towards the middle. You always want to remember to do that.
You know, one of the things that we heard that was really hurtful from folks in this body was, I love what you guys are doing, but I'm just not willing to sacrifice my kids. And that's not what you do in public school. We will always be the main disciplers. We will always be the main educators that set the lens and the schema through which our kids see the world. And so thinking that you have to outsource your education or your discipleship to Watermark or public school or anybody else, that's one of the biggest myths that we've come up against.
Appreciate that. David, how about private school for you and Robin?
Private school for us, I'll tell you a quick story. We had a homecoming dinner for the students at our house, and afterwards the parents had helped us. We were hosting a dinner, and we were going around the table, and there was a woman there saying, I love being at our school because our kids aren't surrounded by people having sex, drinking, vaping, cussing, and guess what? There are people at private school vaping, cussing, smoking, drinking, having sex, and they're there. And you know why they're there? Is because we were sinful, and our kids are sinners, and they need to be discipled, and they need to be loved and cared for. And so that's a myth that I would say, that people think they can protect their kids from that. You can't. It's there.
This is what we've been waiting for, Oren, so don't disappoint us.
Yeah. Where do we begin? We recently watched the documentary about the Duggars, if anybody has seen that. So just go watch that, and there's all the caricatures and stereotypes that you can imagine, and more. There's that of, you know, we want to raise our kids to be weird and not socialized. what was the one thing you said? I think that there's an underlying, I'll pick one from that, and we were actually kind of confronted with that when we started, when we moved to Kentucky, and there are books, as those is one example, that basically amounts to, if you homeschool your kid, you're protecting them, you're sheltering them from the world, so they won't be corrupted, which is a bad view of the doctrine of sin, because they're by nature and by choice sinners, so you can't do that. And I think the other thing is that if you do A, and then if you do B, then that necessarily equals C. Then your kid will be, you know, a faithful Christian and perfect. And, you know, so there's books called Growing Kids God's Way, and it just gives you the recipe that if you do this, then this will happen. And that's just parenting and educating your kid in a way that's not dependent on the Lord and His grace. It's constricting and binding, and it doesn't free you just to be faithful and trust the Lord with the results.
I think they kind of got it all.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. Thanks, Paige. Okay, we're about to come to you. So Sarah's going to run a mic around the room. If you have a question, just raise your hand and she will bring it to you. One last thing, and I want to specifically ask Oren this. Oren, help us understand biblically the way in which we should think about education as it pertains to discipleship. Like, compare and contrast those two concepts, and then we're gonna come to you guys.
Yeah, well, one thing that I've loved about just even our meeting on Sunday, we kind of met each other and talked about it, is you know, no matter what your option is or what you choose to do, we all 100% agree that the primary responsibility of discipleship is on parents. And so whatever we do, we all believe that it's our responsibility, it's our privilege as mothers and fathers to teach our kids the gospel and to help our kids think from a Christian worldview, that this whole world and everything in it is sustained and upheld and ordered by Christ. And we get the privilege of teaching them that. And that, you know, we pray that flows from hearts that are gripped by Christ and his gospel. That when the goodness of, and loving, I think of Titus 3, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done in righteousness, but because of his mercy by the washing of renewal, regeneration of a spirit, and which all overflows from Christ. And so we all agree that as your life is a display of God's mercy to us in Christ by his Spirit, that we get the privilege of investing and discipling our kids and ordering our home around his word such that they can know and enjoy Christ as well. So,
Orin, give folks in the room one opportunity, perhaps it's here at Watermark, they may not know of, in order to grow as a parent and being able to disciple your kids.
Yeah, I think, I mean, one thing is just make Scripture a natural part of your home. In other words, you know, we always talk about, like, don't make it weird, right? And the way you don't make it weird is just talk about it all the time. And again, that flows from a new heart that's been made alive in Christ by his Spirit that loves God's word, right? That the Spirit creates desires in us that wants to know God's word and delight in God's word and believe God's word and teach God's word and proclaim God's word to everyone, including your children. So, you know, I think as a part of education, it's not just a transfer of information. It's actually transformation, which that goes back to, you know, all the way to the early days of, you know, the Greek world and you know, this notion of cultivating virtues in your kids, no matter what kind of education you do. That's what we're about. We want to cultivate virtues of the true and the good and the beautiful in our kids, which ultimately stems from what is ultimately true, good, and beautiful, who is Christ. And so, you know, for us, it's reading the Scripture. Cindy won't say this, but she just finished for, I don't know how many times now, the second or third time, she's read through the entire Bible out loud to our kids every day. They pray for a people group. They go through Operation World that tells us of a different people group every day, how to pray for them, what percentage of Christians, what do they need, how's the church there. I mean, she faithfully does this every day. And I get to come home and ask, kids, what did y'all read in the Bible today? What did you learn? And we get to talk about it. What people group did you pray for? She's reading through Jen Wilkin and J.T. English's new book called You Are a Theologian. My 13-year-old daughter texted me the other day a quote from You Are a Theologian about Christ, who is the creator, became the created. He who was strong became weak. And I just love that my kids get to do that. And whether you're private school, public school, homeschool, we as parents get to shape and form our kids by God's means of grace. And I think the other thing that I'll say is, you know, we all know the commands of Deuteronomy 6, you know, the Shema of Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and talk about his word when you sit down, when you rise up, and put it over your doorpost, and all those kinds of things, and how those things come over in the New Testament, in Ephesians, you know, chapter 5, and Colossians chapter 3, which Dave just read. What I think often is missed is that those commands to husbands and wives, to mothers and fathers, and to children, come in the context of letters written to local churches. And so what I appreciate about that is we as a family don't have to do it alone. We have God's means of grace in our life, namely his church, to come alongside us and supplement what we are doing in the home. So don't neglect the gift of the local church of bringing your children to the service that sit under the faithful preaching and teaching of God's word, to observe the sacraments or ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and to take use of every means that God has given us to hear the gospel and be shaped by the gospel.
Thanks, Orin. Appreciate it. Okay, let's get to your questions. Just raise your hand, and Sarah will bring you a mic, and we will go from there.
I'll kick us off. Thanks, guys, for sharing on the panel. Ben, kind of directed at you. So Chelsea and I, we're planning on sending our kids to the local RISD public school. And a couple of things that I'd love to explore. One is I love hearing about Lauren as a product of the system, quote-unquote, and hey, it really worked out. the narrative I find myself wondering about is it's gotten worse. And it's like, now is the time you don't want your kids in public school. So I'm curious if you had any thoughts on that, like, hey, things are getting worse out there. And so does that thinking on, oh, I went through it and it was okay, has that become harder? That's kind of one line. And then the other one is just, as you're a Christian parent, you got your kids in public school, are you finding yourselves more like, hey, we're on a united front, let's spot the lie that we're being taught or shared or whatever, or are you more like having to redirect your kids from themselves believing those things and bringing them home? Does that make sense? That
kind of distinction? It does. Yeah, great questions, first off. So I used to teach in Richardson. I work for an educational nonprofit where I get into schools, and so I've gotten into probably 1,000 schools over the last few years. Our school is getting worse. I think there's a lot, you know, social media has just impacted our world so much that there's so many outliers that are, you know, contextualized as the norm in public school. Maybe some areas are worse. In a lot of ways, I just think of public schools as being a microcosm of our country, right? And so, like, as our country continues to struggle, so do our schools. That being said, when things are increasingly dark and decaying, the answer to dark and decay is salt and light. And so how are we, as the body, as the church, leaning into that and helping just prop that up? We have 54 million people in our country that were sitting in a public school yesterday. As the church, we cannot lose our voice and our impact there. And so what that looks like then for us is, you know, just the opportunity. So my kids are younger. I don't feel like they've been, you know, jaded or anything yet. We'll see what happens as they get into secondary school. But we've definitely gotten to practice some of the things that Oren talked about, you know, of just having open dialogue at dinner table. And like, hey, how did school go today? What are some things you heard? One of the ones that comes to mind recently, one of my kids was like, my third grader said, can something be older than God? That's an interesting question. Where does that come from? And she said, well, we were looking at some pictures and there's a really old tree in one of our books. And my teacher said, golly, that tree looks so old. That's like older than God. And I think it's Christian teacher. She was very kind of tongue in cheek and just kind of loose in her language there. But we had an opportunity with our third grader to say, okay, so let's practice. What do we think about that? And then how do we respond to that? And so we've practiced so many times the phrase, this is what you can say in public school. In our family, we believe that ... And, you know, from the time they start kindergarten, they are equipped with that to say, not you're wrong or my daddy told me something different. But in our family, we believe that nothing's older than God. In our family, we believe that X. And so that's been our way to equip our kids just to, you know, and also then staying in close dialogue about what are those things that they're hearing and helping them just have that opportunity to have conversation to keep those channeled in the right direction.
Thanks. Good question. Who else? Who else has a question? Raise your hand, and Sarah will come bring you the mic.
Sorry, we're tag-teaming you guys. We were like, give me that mic. I'm Luke's wife, Chelsea. I'd love to know about how you processed financially, because Christian education sounds wonderful. For us to go to a private school, looks like I would have to get a job. And then would that then sacrifice my role in the home? So I think I'm just curious, I don't know which of you to direct this to, but just maybe how did you financially process
Thanks,
this?
Chelsea,
because it's kind of scary.
Let's have the Zenas answer that, because I know you've financed that.
It's how you process it financially. One is, you know, early on is our lifestyle was to live below our means anyways, if you will. But I will tell you, when we looked at it, if we couldn't afford it financially, we would not have made that sacrifice, and because it is a financial sacrifice. And so we had to decide what that looked like for our family, and we went through that process of first, you know, the heart process and, you know, focusing on your child on what that looks like, and then the financial process of, hey, long term, what that looks like. And for us, we were able to do that in a way that, we've obviously made sacrifices in other areas in order to do that, in order to send our kids to private school. But it is one that you need to weigh, and you need to look at the cost and determine if that's the right next step. And just to add on to what Ben said, you know, I agree. I mean, it sounds like it's only the public schools that are getting bad, But what's happening is in private schools, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, is the influx of the people that are now going to private schools is the world. And so private schools aren't immune to what's going on in the world. And they're not immune to what's happening around us. And so as you weigh that, you should consider that as well. And so what would you add on the financial piece, Robin?
I mean, I always said that if I had to go back to work, that I would, if that was the sacrifice that we would make to send our kids to that. But, I mean, I never had to do that because of other decisions we made. We're going to drive a car longer. We're going to live in a smaller house. We've just made other sacrifices along the way.
So the collaborative university model schools oftentimes will use the excess capacity of existing church. So, for example, Classical School of Dallas, and I know Coram Deo has a lower tuition rate. At CSD, it's about $5,000, and you can apply for financial aid. Some people get up to 75%. So while it's certainly not pocket change, it becomes much more approachable. The experience is different. It's not a roll out the red carpet, and you have all the amenities and kind of the bigness of some of our wonderful private five-day-a-week schools. You're rolling up your sleeves, you're doing the work, and with that, there is an approachability financially that is kind of a nimble solution to some families who would like a different education option.
Thanks, Paige. Great question. Who else? Who has some questions? Great. Sarah?
Hi, guys. My name is Anna Henriquez. This is my husband, Brian. We have a four-year-old, so we're still, like, figuring things out. She's in preschool, but we are still trying to navigate, like, what it is that we want out of schooling, which is why we're here. So I'm curious just to see how you processed among, like, with your spouse about, like, what was important out of education when you had differing opinions. So we went to public school and private school, and so we're still on the fence, and we haven't come to a decision. So I just want to hear, like, how you guys navigated through some of those differences and how you kind of became cohesive in your decision.
Great question. How did you go through the process?
I mean, I think for us, we had to figure out what are our pillars in the decision-making. Did we want a Christian education? Was that something that we prioritized? And with that kind of informed whether it was private or not. If we decided that instructionally we wanted it to be a Christ-centered or Christian education, then that would necessarily be private. And then from private, we had to decide whether or not we were comfortable with 5-day-a-weeks or some hybrid model. And then the timing for us was this rhythm of life, this collaborative lifestyle works well for us. So we started with where do we begin, and then how does it play out?
Yeah, Oren has been in ministry our entire marriage, and so I think financially any kind of private institution was not going to be a reality for us. The public schools were not that great in Louisville. So I think that was a big key for us in that regard, in making that choice. And I think we saw there's a private school a lot like yours in Louisville that we love their curriculum, and you were able to get that at home. So that's why we chose that. There is a cost associated with homeschool. You're buying your curriculum and your books and any activities. I was just telling her with the baseball team, we fund that. Like, there's just things that you pay for, but you just have to make those sacrifices. And by God's grace, anytime we're kind of like, how are we going to do this? The Lord just provides, and we're thankful to see him do that for our kids.
Yeah, so in other words, they kind of made our decision easy because, you know, again, when we lived in Kentucky, we weren't going to send our kid to public school because of what it involved. Now, had we been in Texas and, you know, we lived in a smaller town or a more conservative area, and so you went to school, you know, down the street, maybe, you know, we would have been probably more open to considering it, but that just wasn't something we were going to consider. And I think the other thing is just it works with our kids and their personalities. Because they are more like their mother than they are their father. I was crazy as a kid. I was not a Christian. My kids know that when I tell them the crazy things that I did until the Lord saved me when I was 21. So it just works well with Cindy's gifts and personality. She won't tell you this, but she loves education. She has multiple degrees, but it works well with our kids as well. So it's made it easy for us to decide that.
I think to your specific question, when they're four, look at the schools. Look at the schools that are in this area that fit your criteria of what you like. Talk to other parents who go to that school. Tour the school. Sit in a classroom. Just the practical pieces of being on the campus of the school that you are looking at putting your child at to see what it looks like. I think for me, I wanted to see that. I wanted to sit in a classroom, and I wanted to see how the teacher interacted with all the students, especially because we had a very quiet, reserved child. And a small classroom for us was the best route. And I think it goes back to knowing your child and where they feel like, or where you feel like your child would be a good fit.
You know, one of the, for me and Kara, we, our youngest daughter, Jillian, was her junior year in Seattle, and we moved back to Albuquerque. And she had gone to the public schools her whole time. We even, Albuquerque is one of those places where you kind of live by where the school is, so you can be in the district. And so we spent a little bit more money than we'd like to on a house to get in the right district. She went there for 3 days and said, I don't like this. I want to go to the Christian school. And Kara and I just weren't on the same page with that. I'm like, you're going to go to the school of hard knocks is where you're going to go. And that's how we learn and grow and trust the Lord. And such a tender soul. No wonder I'm a pastor, right? Kara just said, hey, you know what? She's just left everything behind in Seattle. If we get her in a smaller private Christian school, she'll have more nurturing. And so even though I'm the head of the house and it's my job before the Lord to lead my family, I just deferred. I thought, you know, we're not going to see this eye to eye. I trust that my wife is really in tune with where my daughter's at. We made the decision her senior year to go to the private Christian school in our community. It was tough. We had to make some financial sacrifices to do it, and I'm so glad we did. It was such a good year for her to be nurtured. It wasn't so much about her theology and developing her as a disciple. It's more about the context of a smaller school with more nurturing. So there's times I think we defer one to another in these situations. It's not realistic to think we're always going to be 100% on the same page. And so that's where as you pray together and you seek the scripture together, the Lord leads you to care in that way. That's a good question. Again, I know some of you are in a position where you really don't have a choice and the option you have right now doesn't feel good. And so we want to make sure to encourage you as well. Who else has a question?
Dave, I would add.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Just because you make a decision in kindergarten or first grade, yep, that doesn't mean that's going to be the best fit for your child all the way through. Sometimes you have to, as you begin to see how your child is a specific type learner, or if they end up having a learning difference, that you have to, again, evaluate your child and their needs, and you might have to make a shift. And that's what we did for our middle child and made a shift to change her to a different school because she needed something different.
One of the things I love that you've said earlier, Robin, and you and David have worked through is that not every child is the same. So the same plan doesn't necessarily work the same for every child. Every child is different. So appreciate you saying. I've got a grandson now who was diagnosed with being on the spectrum when he was three, and he's going to a public school in Plano because they're best situated to help him through the things he's challenged with. And so there's opportunities where that may not be the case for his little brother. His parents may decide differently. All right, who has a question? All over the place here. We'll get to you.
This question is for the Zenas and Paige. I'm curious if in your decision process, if you considered a co-op model for homeschool, since it seems like it would check all the same boxes that private school would.
Robin wouldn't do well in that situation. That's when you know your wife and you know... Yeah, she wanted to still have children and love them well. And Robin's is an amazing mom, but sitting with and being responsible for a couple days a week just wasn't knowing your wife well is knowing that that wouldn't serve her well. So.
But I admire those who do, yeah, for sure.
I think, and Paige, you want to address that too?
So we homeschooled and did a homeschool co-op up until my oldest was in third grade, and it can be really, really beautiful. There's people in this audience I know who have done it, and it's just lovely. I found that we needed more structure and more support than a co-op. I wanted some grades. I wanted another teacher holding my child accountable because I just couldn't seem to do that. And so the co-op model, what we experienced, it didn't bring quite enough structure. And when we thought about the route to college and transcripts and all of that, I just felt more comfortable being a part of a school. Also, when I kind of looked around the bend with some of the co-ops we were a part of, it felt like there was sometimes some instability, particularly with the older kids, as to whether or not that particular class would still be there, if there would be enough students. And so for the instructional expertise with the more complicated subjects, we wanted a school. And then the accountability of grades, of other teachers, we wanted a school. But particularly when they were young, when we were just homeschooling, it was lovely. But for me, I was tired and I was kind of white flag of this isn't going to work for us long term.
That's good. Another question. You get to pick, Sarah. You got a lot of power running that mic around, right?
For one over here.
Yeah, yeah. Mix it up a little bit.
So maybe more question for you guys who homeschool, but maybe others as well. For those who are more in like a Christian community through homeschooling or co-ops or other things, like are you intentional to introduce your kids to those outside of the Christian community? And like just how are you purposeful and kind of, I mean, the world influences us in all kinds of ways, but letting them see kind of other perspectives or kids that are different from kind of the circles that they're in?
For sure.
Go ahead. You go first, Cindy. Go ahead.
Yes, for sure. That's a burden of my heart. I feel like the Lord's given me the gift of mercy, so I do have a love for just the underserved populations. That's why I got a master's in health. I love being able to like work with those kind of groups. So in Louisville, we work with a ministry called Scarlet Hope, and I was like desperate. It's hard to find places to serve with your kids, to be perfectly honest. People don't. It's not a normal thing. And so you have to work a little harder to find them. But we would go and we would clean their offices on Fridays. And from that, they got to meet women who were coming off of the street. Like they were trying to change their lives. And so I think that was a beautiful opportunity. They still talk to me about it. They got to babysit some of those ladies' kids and stuff while we were there. So you just have to be more intentional and you have to work hard. But I'm thankful for the flexibility to be able to take a day and be able to go serve at different places. And Watermark is wonderful in providing opportunities for us to serve in different places. And a lot of those are very family friendly. So we do try to be just intentional to get outside of our bubble. And then as far as other things that happen in the world, I'm thankful to receive those things one at a time. So like his cousin, you know, his struggle with addiction, we were able to talk through that with the kids and how they should process that and how they can think about that. We watch a little news thing every day just to kind of be aware of what's going on in the world. And we talk about it from a Christian worldview. Like we look at that and we say, okay, now what would we say or what would the Bible say about those things? So it is, you do just have to work a little harder to find opportunities, but they're there and they're beautiful when they happen because those relationships are, I don't know, that form, they're just beautiful and they impact our children.
That's awesome, Cindy. I know Ben has a specific example here locally that you could be involved in if you would like an opportunity to serve, even though your kids don't go to public school, but if you'd like to serve the public school in your neighborhood.
Thanks for referencing that. So School Impact is our school partnership ministry here at Watermark. We are currently, so we started at Northlake Elementary, and as the community came back to the school, they kind of told us, hey, we don't need Watermark coming in here. Our local community is supporting that. And so we've rolled our volunteers over to RISD Academy, which is right about a half mile up Coit Road here, a very underserved population there. And so we are currently in the process as a body of mentoring every fourth grader on that campus. We partner with an organization called Academy 4 to bring in curriculum and programming. And so you can find out more information about serving there as a mentor, or there's after school extracurricular clubs. We just redecorated their teacher's lounge. If you go to watermark.org and search schools, you can find all the information about that.
Thanks, Ben. Okay, I think we got time for one more question. I'm sorry we're running out of time, but it's a big decision here. You want to pray about it, Sarah, before you? She has prayed and decided.
Hey, I'm Jared. This is my wife, Ryan. I'm just curious, like, what's a Christian perspective on how much we should care about the actual, like, academic rigor at a school? Like, how much weight should we put on college preparedness and just you know, how intelligent our kids should be.
Great question. Really good question.
Yeah, and so academic rigor is what I talk 40 hours a week in my job, so I'm going to take a first crack at that one. It's important, right? It's not of most importance and ultimate eternal importance. And so we want to provide an educational environment that helps our students fulfill the potential for which they were created. And so that can look like a lot of different things. There's a balance to being under rigorous. There's also a balance to saying, I want my kid to go to the Ivy League, and that's going to be the most important thing to us, so we're going to sacrifice everything for that. It's easy as Christians to process that decision in the same way that the world does, right? A lot of comparison, a lot of control, a lot of fear of, and so just trying to keep our heart in check of like, yes, we want to be pushing you to excel, but I just had my teacher conference with my kid's teacher yesterday, and she ran through his academics and his behavior, and my talking point at the end of every one of those conferences and say, hey, all of those things are important, and I'm so appreciative of how you're pouring into my kid. The most important thing to us as a family is how his character is being developed, how he's treating his classmates. And so please hold him to a very high bar on that and don't hesitate to reach out to us because we are a faith-based family and that's really the most important thing to us.
Yeah, and I would add to that, you know, for our kids, we never talk about grades. We talk about effort they're giving. And I mean, you can even go back to Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, you know, you want to honor Christ and you want to serve him well. And one of those ways is by being serving excellently in what you do and with a Christ-like heart and not for performance-based. It's not for nothing that they're going to gain academically is going to eternally hold value for them on this earth. Their relationship with Christ is. And what academics can do is to help them learn how they can do hard things. And I watch what our kids are learning and doing now, and I'm amazed at how they're able to process their thought. Like, I look at Paige, and who was this quiet, reserved kid who is now unafraid to stand in front of a group this size and speak. And she's not afraid to have hard conversations. And she has done some hard things through her academics, but that's not what gives her significance. That's not what we are trying to teach her. And so we've never put an influence on grades. We've always put an influence on, hey, I don't think you're honoring God with the effort that you're putting out. And your effort is, I really don't care if our kids get all C's, as long as I know they're trying their hardest and they're putting forth the effort that they're willing to do.
As David passes the mic, raise your hand if you want David and Robin to be your mom and dad. Just raise your hand, all right? You guys adopting right hey. Now? You taking applications?
And this comes from a guy that graduated with a pretty low GPA from
yeah.
college.
Yeah, great.
And our kids get grades at their co-op, just so you know. So they are evaluated. That's what I needed for especially my son as he becomes more of a man. I wanted him to have other people that he had to be accountable to. And it wasn't just me saying you need to write this essay, but somebody was checking him. And
it's good.
Yes. Good. So I think one of the benefits, our oldest son goes to a place called Theo where he takes geometry? Yep. And they have pathways for homeschooling parents if you want your kids to go to college, these are all taught by, you know, parents of kids who went to college. Like, here's the pathway that you can take. And so I think it was helpful for you when we moved here to show this is what college is looking, this is what they're looking for, so that you can kind of have a pathway to, you know, these were parents who sent their kids to Texas A&M. Thank you. Baylor or whatever it is. Yeah, I don't care about that.
I think everything they said is what we try to do at home also. Grades are a helpful feedback of, are you working hard? Are you learning responsibility to turn in your work? And for every student in our family, you know, there's one, a C is, yes, you did it, way to go. And another one is, I don't think that you were working so hard. But in terms of, you know, the rigor, I think it's important to not be, to hold some college admissions board as the chief end of how we spend these days with our kids. And so the training of a shiny resume for college admissions, I don't think we want that to be our chief end of education, but I do think that rigor
is a part of developing a nimble thinking mind and a robust imagination. And that's an important part to create potent worshipers. And so I do think the challenge is good, and struggle is the necessary engine for growth a lot of times. And so finding the sweet spot for your child is important, to find out what is kind of, where are we taking you to your struggle mentally to develop, to not just think of, you know, the academy or school is the place for rigorous hard thought, but religion is kind of bifurcated to emotion or kind of feelings, but rather apply that hard, rational thinking to the things of God in his created world.
Such good answers. Rapid fire, real quick. We're almost out of time. One characteristic of God you've seen demonstrated as you think through the education of your kids. One thing that you worship in God that you've seen him be faithful in as you educate your kids, just to encourage us all as we wrap up today.
I think his creativity, the way that he reveals himself as they grow.
Great.
Say his meticulous sovereignty.
What does that mean?
Just how he has given us to be our kids' parents. So no matter what we do, like we love them and we invest in them. And as imperfect as we are there in their lives. And yeah, and I'm just thankful for his meticulous sovereignty.
I think about God's faithfulness. Even when we are faithless, he is faithful because he can't deny himself. And so, Cindy mentioned at the very beginning to see her parent and educate our kids out of dependence on the Lord. The Lord has shown himself very faithful and strong.
So as I see our three children standing back there, I just think 3 John 4, where it says there's no greater joy than to know that your children are following the Lord. And we're parenting teenagers, and it is hard. But just to know the trajectory that they have because of the foundation we've instilled in them, and that it started at home, not in any educational system, but in parenting from God's word at home.
And I would say that to echo just God's grace in my stupidity as a parent. And just to watch, there is no greater faith than that faith of a child. And just the forgiving spirit that kids have is a beautiful reflection of God's spirit towards us. And we've had to ask our kids for forgiveness for a lot of things. And we remember them much longer than they remember them. And just as God's word says, hey, he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Just seeing the picture of that through our kids has been a blessing.
The word that came to mind for me is providence. Just that no matter which choice you make, it's going to be hard. This world isn't our home, and parenting is hard, and we're sinful people. But God has consistently showed up and provided for us. And when a kid needed a friend, or I needed a word, a Bible verse or a song on the radio, or running into somebody at Costco, has just seen God's hand of providence show up consistently.
That's awesome.
Dave, can I add one thing?
Sure, please.
I'm going to ask the theologian, what verse is it that perfect love casts out all fear?
Is it 1 John?
1 John.
I thought you were asking
Cindy. No, yeah.
I did too.
1 John, perfect love casts out all fear. And so don't be afraid of the decision that you make. Mm. If you are, search your heart to find out where that fear is coming from. And because that is speaking something into your heart that your kids need to see. And if don't let a school decision cause you fear, that's not from the Lord. Insert your heart for that.
Can I say one thing?
Do you want Oren to say one thing?
Yeah.
Let's hear it from Oren.
What I love, if you've heard a common theme, is know your kids. Man, our kids are created in God's image, and they are, because of that, they are of worth and dignity and value. They're not half the image of God. They are the full image of God as boys and girls. And it has been such a joy just to get to know them, what makes them tick, what makes them, you know, what brings them joy, what brings them frustration. I always think about the verse, you know, fathers, provoke your children to anger. I always get that confused with fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Because I was a little brother, I'm really good at provoking anger through being annoying. But just don't forget the joy of just getting to know your children for who they are, who God's made them to be. Who God's called them to be. And we trust that as you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the wisdom to make these decisions. So,
yeah, what a great way to close out our time. Thank you so much. Thank you, panel. Thank you. Thank you, room host. If you can stick around, maybe for some questions you can answer, we'll hang out here for a little bit. Your next session's at 10:15. Thank you guys very much.